Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island Beer Company, which brews beers that are highly rated by beer critics and beer lovers alike. More at gooseisland.com. We don't need to be the only beer you drink. We just want to be the best beer you drink.
This is Sound Opinions, and this week's guests are the Mekons. No hype, Jim. It is the longest-running transcontinental punk band in the world.
That's true, but I don't know if there's any competition in that field.
Certainly in the top five, right? 40 years, formed at the height of the punk era, contemporaries of the Sex Pistols and the Clash. The Clash just came out with White Riot. These art school students from Leeds, England say, hey, let's form a band and let's do a song and let's call it Never Been in a Riot.
Right, right. Not us. Contrarians to this day, 40 years later.
Yes, they've been fighting against the man and various other things ever since. These working class roots, though, that they've spoken to really came to the fore when they started performing benefit shows for the British miners' strike in the early 80s. And then exploring American country music. Here are these art punk kids from England fascinated by American country music. Hank Williams, Jimmy Rogers, and doing their own twisted take on it. Fear and Whiskey, one of those landmark albums that a lot of critics heard, was an import, mid-80s. And American critics went crazy over it. That brought the band from overseas to start touring America. And Jim, you and I have seen countless Mekon shows between us. I think that's where the real proof of this band's brilliance occurs, is on that stage. Because anything can happen. They can fall flat on their face. And other nights, it is just the most brilliant thing you've ever seen. Very similar to the Replacements in some ways in that regard.
Yeah, with half the band based in Chicago, half the band based in the UK still. I had to wrestle, Greg, with this because I knew about the punk roots, but now I'm a Chicago music journalist in the 90s. It's like, who are these old or aging, English people playing country music, right? But you have to remember that the music of the British Isles, in particularly the Scots-Irish tradition, migrated over here with American settlers and became country and Western, and then the Mekons claimed it and took it back. I'm always sympathetic to new arrivals to the Mekons, young listeners or older listeners who've never encountered them, because where do you start? There's such a discography there. For you, it's Fear and Whiskey. I would recommend So Good It Hurts, because when Sally Timms comes on board, and that's really her album, the magic is there.
Yes, there's been a revolving door lineup in some ways with this band, but John Langford and Tom Greenhall have been the constant. Sally Timms has been there for a long time. We had half the band here recently, Jim. Langford and Greenhall were in the studio with us, as well as Lou Edmonds, another longtime member, the man of many stringed instruments. Mm. He brought a saz along with him this time, a Mediterranean stringed instrument, which he played on this stripped-down performance, which harkens to their country roots.
Absolutely. You know, Greg, I think the issue with a band that's been together for four decades is how do they keep things fresh? They found a really unique way to record efficiently in a different way than they'd done before and to involve their fans on their latest record, Existentialism. Here's first John Langford and then Tom Greenhall telling a story of how being an ocean apart from one another helped birth this unusual idea.
Tom lives in the West Country in England. I live here in Chicago. And Tom had an idea that we should make the next album just on a phone, and it should just be...
I was thinking, you know...
What's the point?
The way the music business is, no one buys CDs or a smaller level. So in a way, you're wasting a lot of time and money recording something over days and weeks. So why not do it as simply as possible?
So explain the concept. You went from this, we're going to do this really small, urgent recording, to expanding it to where you included people you had never met before.
Yeah, well, that was the next phase of the plan. It was all, forced by economics. So that how you don't make any money from this recording. So how can we make some money off the recording that we're not going to make any money off?
So you have crowdfunding, and we decided to have choir funding. Rather than just have people send us money, we offered them the chance to, do you want to be on a Mekons album? And 75 people came, and then they were put through hell for some hours.
The people who wanted to do that had to obviously pay a small ticket price for the privilege
of being on a Mekons record.
I want to get this straight, Tom. So people paid you to make them uncomfortable and harass them for hours.
As Marx said, the mode of production determines the mode of consciousness. was what this was all about.
So why introduce the wild? I mean, you could have done the record in 5 hours with just the group, and that would have been in and of itself an accomplishment. But you add this wild card of these 75.
Well, they're the people that
financed
the project.
They were singing. They were also the executive producers of the record, basically.
So, right.
Yeah, you're missing the key there. They paid for the whole shebang.
Well, it's Kickstarter with Kickstarter and a live album rolled into one.
It's
right?
Like less. Just straight out begging, which we felt that was quite uncomfortable.
But I mean, such a strange concept. This crowdfunded chaos. What would have happened, boys, if none of these people could have sung?
Well, no, I'm not sure they could.
That was the idea.
Oh, okay. All right.
Because absolutely, there's these people doing things with feral choirs of completely untrained singers, and it's all quite interesting. There's a lot of stuff going on with the idea of getting people to sing regardless of their so-called ability,
We thought of it more like sound effects, really, than rather.
You get 50 people murmuring. It sounds great.
But it has sort of an eerie undertow. It does add an element of atmosphere to the recording that's very strange and surreal and kind of cool. Did it work out to your expectations the way you thought it was going to come out?
I didn't have any expectations.
I kind of didn't have any, definite preconceived idea of what it was going to actually sound like. So what it sounded like was right.
We got Tony Mamone to record it who was the bass player in Pere Ubu, and he's got a studio in Brooklyn. So he came down, did the thing with the one microphone, and, he did a really great job. We were seriously thinking it was going to sound like it was recorded on someone's phone.
One microphone.
We were a bit worried about the acoustic being a little, just making it sound a bit, just boring or something. But so that it was really great the way it actually turned out.
No, it sounds wonderful. And you, being the Mekons, you're not going to play any songs from the new recording, it sounds like, right? What are you going to play?
We've actually been rehearsing a couple of them to play live, but should we do one? This was called The Wasted Winds Were Blowing.
I dreamed a dream the other night. The wasted winds were blowing. I dreamed a dream the other night. The wasted winds did blow. I dreamed I saw my own true love. The wasted winds are blowing. I dreamed that I saw John, but the wind blew him away. With straw and leaves all in her hair, the wasted winds are blowing. The dust and sand was in her hair, the wasted winds do blow. She was here once, but now has gone, the wasted winds do blow.
Mekons, or part of them, live on Sound Opinions. We're in the studio with John Langford, Lou Edmonds on the amplified oud over there.
Saz.
I'm sorry. And Tom Greenhall. Part of the Mekons, as I said. A large lineup, ever shifting through the years, 40 years of history. Where would you encourage people to start? You know, by my count, and this is a conservative count, 20 Mekons albums. You know, it's a daunting discography. Lou, what do you tell people?
I've never started.
It doesn't help.
I say, come to a gig. Yeah, just come see us live.
Ah,
easy. I think so. That's probably the right answer.
Yeah. Well, because that's where you are at the moment, and every gig is different. Every gig is special.
That's right.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's like, how do you start with any sort of big thing that you can't just grasp in 5 minutes.
Keep asking the questions, you'll get your reply. Nothing there, nothing there. Peel back the onion till there's nothing there. Layer by layer till there's nothing there.
At a certain point, you know, you mentioned 40 years. That's a long history and a long legacy with a lot of songs, a lot of records. It always seemed to me like you're always willing to play your new stuff in shows. You know, it's very difficult as a so-called heritage band not to be bound by your past. What has kept you out of that hole? That, you know, you're obviously
all the other heritage bands. How boring it looks. Yeah, you know, to be honest.
Is that the reason the band keeps going? Because in a lot of ways, I think it has to do with the fact that the next thing is the more exciting thing to you all the time.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
It was an art school. We were art students, and we were, you know, messing around with the idea of what it would be like to do a band because we weren't very interested in painting at that time.
I don't think people come and see the Mekons to hear a particular song. I think they come to just see a show, and everything the Mekons does revolves around the show. Mm-hmm. And we could play anything, and often we do, and we don't even know what we're doing, so it doesn't make any difference. So if these heritage bands, they've fallen in love with the huge success that they had in the
80s. That's the trouble.
We never had any success.
we didn't have any attention, you know, it was in 85 or going through that period of time, you know, to sort of think of it as being heritage. Mm-hmm. And so we could do what we wanted, and no one's going to say you can't do that. You've got to play your hits.
Right. I'm sensing the recurring theme of be here now. The magic happens when you guys come together. The magic happens when you're on stage. You're here now. What are you going to play for us?
We've been quite adventurous, I would say, yeah, because we haven't. That last one we hadn't. That was the first time we'd ever tried to play that.
Yep.
So this, I don't think we ever played this.
We've never played this.
This was recorded in a studio in 1989.
The original recording.
Rock and Roll album.
Oh, wow. Oh, okay. So it's from Rock and Roll back in 89.
Thank you.
Did you ever hear about Cocaine Lil? She lived in Cocaine Town on a cocaine hill. She had a cocaine dog, a cocaine cat. They fought all night with a cocaine rat. She had cocaine hair on a cocaine head. She had a cocaine dress that was poppy red. She wore a snowbird hat and sleigh ride shoes. On her coat she wore a crimson cocaine rose. Big red chariots on the Milky Way, snakes and elephants, silver and gray. Oh, the cocaine blues, they make me sad. Oh, the cocaine blues make me feel so bad. She went to a party one cold night. The way she sniffed was sure a fright. There was morphine Sue and the poppy face kid climbing up snow ladders and down they slid. Along in the morning about 3:30, they were all lit up like a Christmas tree. When she got home and started for bed, she took another sniff and it knocked her dead. They laid her out in her cocaine clothes, wore a snowbird hat and a crimson. On a headstone, you'll find this refrain.
That is Cocaine Lil from the Mekons, live on Sound Opinions.
When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with the Mekons and hear about their less than positive experience with a major label. Go to soundopinions.org for exclusive video of the Mekons' acoustic set. Later, we're going to review the new record from singer Dawn Richard. That's coming up on Sound Opinions from WBEZ Chicago and PRX.